to The Watchman's Cry, where my dad talks about the end time. So grab your Bible and a pen and paper, and get ready for a good Bible study.
Greetings, brethren. Welcome, welcome, welcome. You're listening to The Watchman's Cry. My name is Nathan Liao, and I'm up here on the wall bringing you the news, the reports, the happenings, and the information of what is coming upon the land. And coming to you from the edge of a high point that overlooks the craggy rocks of Babylon Island, I bid you hello, and I welcome you to another session of sobering reality and spiritual truth. And from this location, I can see many images. I can see approaching storms. I can see the edge of the cliff, and I can hear the pounding of the surf. And also from this vantage point, I can see in the distance, by the gate of the harbor, the lady. That woman who for over a century has held a torch in her hand, a torch of proclamation for her people. And today, my friends, I must report that she is not alone. She has been getting visitors from above, and they are dark and menacing. They are vultures. And back in the days of her youth, Miss Liberty had blue skies over her head and endless horizon in her focus. But now, there are vultures in the land. They have come upon her. And these creatures, these scavengers of death, have been hovering and circling around her. And when I first saw them, they appeared very hungry, and they looked like they were contemplating a tasty meal. And as I watched this disturbing scene unfold, I found myself alarmed and concerned. I had to tell someone, but who would listen? And as I continued to watch, I saw that several of the dark vultures had descended with outstretched talons, and they landed on her headdress, her crown of the seven seas. And then I watched an incredible horror. With their mighty wings outstretched, they tugged into the air with an evil effort, and they ripped Liberty's crown from her head. And they carried it a short distance, and they dropped it to the ground. And down below, the people were walking about, and they had no awareness to what was taking place above them, or what was about to befall them, because suddenly there was a crash. The crown hit the ground hard with a thud, and it broke into several pieces. And some of those pieces landed on the crowd, crushing some of them, and it looked like it may have killed others. But amazingly, the other people that were milling about did not notice. They did not see the mayhem. They were too preoccupied with one another. They were too busy lusting after one another. They were too busy admiring one another. They were too busy admiring themselves. So I screamed to get their attention. I felt panic and heartache, and I yelled at them, trying to tell them some people are hurt, but they did not listen. They did not seem to care. And then I looked above, and I saw a new horror. The vultures were on Liberty's shoulders and on her head. And they were picking and poking into her. They were scratching her face and plucking her skin. They were eating her flesh, and she began to bleed. The blood dripped down her face. It dripped down onto the people, but they did not notice. And she also did not seem to notice. Lady Liberty did not seem to care, because she herself was intoxicated. She was drunk from a cup that she's now holding in her hand, an elixir that she is sipping. It is an elixir that makes her sway in the wind. It is a drink that has made her forget her lovers, her loyal friends, and her children. And in this drink, this cup of boiling red liquid, are the iniquities of the land. This drink she is tasting for all of the people, the drink of judgment, a drink at first intoxicating, but then a liquid that turns bitter. A drink sweet upon her lips, but swallowed with anguish. It is a drink from the heavenly apothecary, delivered by divine appointment. This drink, it is the cup of iniquity, and it will soon become the people's portion. It is now arriving, my friends. Attention to all of the people, far and wide. The portion of judgment has commenced. It has reached the shoreline, and it is spreading across the terrain. It is now touching the lives of people. So a question from my heart is this. Who will listen to the message? Who can hear the carol of a tolling bell? Who can hear the voice of the Spirit of God that woos and calls His children to repent? Who has the eyes to see that the hand of a holy God is moving? Who has the eyes to see that the shaking has begun? And who has the understanding to know that unless you are tethered to God right now, you will stumble, you will fall, and you will not endure? And this very day, my friends, the living God, the God who does not sleep, the God who does not slumber, is watching. He is watching to find those that will listen to this warning cry. He is watching to see which person from among the multitude wishes to be marked by Him. My friends, this world is now far beyond the question of its indictment. For it has been tried and it has been found guilty of many hideous and irreverent crimes against the God of heaven. This world has suffered too many sins by arrogant and selfish men. This world has witnessed too much bloodshed. It has endured too many acts of defilement. And it has been fouled with the deeds too many to mention. And now, the cup of their portion is to be poured out upon the land. Therefore, my friends, prepare your hearts. Let every person seek to be measured by God's mercy instead of His judging hand. Folks, please hear me when I say that right now, you are not just listening to an entertaining audio message. Because these words, if heeded and taken to heart, could sustain a life and preserve a soul. But if these words are ignored, they can result in a deep submersion of sorrow and grief. My friends, as I mentioned earlier, this planet is about to go through a mighty shaking with disturbing consequences. And I have a question for you. When that shaking begins to happen, what are you going to hold on to? And when you hold on to it, will it keep you from falling? And when you hold on to it, will it return the favor and hold on to you? Does it care about you? In fact, is it an it? Is it a he? A she? These are good questions, folks. And please allow me to give you a suggestion. Unless you are tethered to God during the shaking, you will not endure. Because in spite of what any human thinks, nothing else is strong enough to hold you. And also, any response of denial is not going to stop the Richter scale from registering under your feet. Because the great shaking is coming, my friends. So now, here's another question. Are you tethered to God? I mean, are you really, really attached to Him today? You know, folks, the whole reason that this world is under judgment is because of one thing. Sin. So here's another question. Do you harbor unspoken sins? Is your outward confession one of confidence in God, but inwardly there are dark things that you're cherishing? Please hear me, my friend. If you are in sin and you think that you can tether yourself to God, you are mistaken. You must repent first and then get close to Him. Unfortunately, most of humanity denies that sin is bad. They deny the message of repentance, and unfortunately, those hard-hearted individuals are going to perish. Folks, I am not going to sidestep how serious this thing is. And God is not willing that any one of you should perish, but that you would come to repentance. So, my friend, which one are you going to be? If you're listening to this message right now and your life is buried in the mire of sin and you know it, I want you to know something, my friend. It doesn't matter how bad you've messed up because God wants to forgive you. But you gotta tell him. We're running out of time, folks. Now, I've been seeking God for insight on what's coming, and he has been sharing some things with me. And I have to tell you, I must tell you that we're beyond business as usual. And today I'm going to talk about these things and also what you need to be thinking about. So please, take this message very serious. Get your Bible, get a pen and paper, and please, share this message with everyone that you know, because the clock is ticking. We're running out of time. It's 1 minute to midnight. So many people do not know what time it is, folks, and we have to tell them. So that's why I ask you to download these messages, copy them, put them on other websites, share them with your loved ones, share them with your pastor, but please, folks, share them. Also, I invite you to go to my website, and the website is watchmanscry.com. And you can go there and listen to many other audio messages about this topic, on what is happening to this world right now, about what is presently going on in America with the present depression. Because make no mistake, folks, we are in a depression. Depression phase one is underway right now. But soon, in the coming months and years ahead, a 10.0 magnitude super depression is on the horizon. And you need to know this. You need to realize this, and you need to prepare yourself for it. You need to prepare your heart and your spirit to endure it. Folks, please know this. In fact, write this down if you have your pen and paper. To the prepared soul, the days ahead are going to be hard and challenging. But to the unprepared soul, the days ahead are going to be terrifying and destructive. Make no mistake, folks. Right now, this very minute, this very hour, this day, you need to be building a house out of God's mortar. Unfortunately, so many people have a house of straw based on lies and deception and denial. But that's what this ministry brings to the table. How to get prepared and how to deal with it. How to get spiritually prepared. Folks, I pray hard for each and every one of these messages. And when I pray, I have a prayer journal, a notepad, and the Holy Spirit shares insight and spiritual truth and sermons and nuggets for me to share with you. And that's what you're listening to right now. Words that were birthed in the prayer closet. You're not listening to words that were born in my head. You're not listening to alternative media and entertainment. Folks, God is sounding the alarm right now. In these perilous times, He has recruited many voices that are out there. And the voices are trying to get the attention of the people. And my prayer is that you will be touched by the Holy Spirit as you listen to this message. Folks, I'm very thankful and fascinated that through the miracle of technology, I can record an audio message that can reach so many of you. So let's take advantage of it while we still have the internet, because just recently, I have seen that a new bill is now in the Senate. And this bill will allow Obama to have a kill switch on the internet. It does not look good, folks. Obama could ram this thing through while we are distracted with the oil spill. And if he does, then our days of online sermons and messages could be numbered. And some of the things that are on this bill, it would grant the president far-reaching emergency powers to seize control of or even shut down portions of the internet. The bill also goes on to say that the excuse that they would be doing this would be to protect the assets of the country and protect the people. Now, Mr. Joe Lieberman is one of the sponsors of this bill. The wording of the bill is very disturbing. It has very few limits on the president's emergency power, which can be renewed indefinitely. And to go a little bit further, the bill actually allows for the potential of absolute power, and it will all be in the hands of the president. The other disturbing thing is that Mr. Lieberman said last Thursday that the enactment of this bill needed to be a top congressional priority. And it makes me wonder, why is he in such a hurry? Well, one of the things that I suspect is that they want to take advantage of this emergency with the oil spill while everyone is distracted, and then it can just get rammed right through the Senate and voted on. Another thing that this bill will do is it would create another extension to Homeland Security, the bureaucracy that's already big enough that makes suspects out of you and me. It would grow even bigger. So again, folks, this thing does not look good. And if this thing does pass, we're going to be left with one internet channel, ObamaTube. So here's the question. How long will Watchman's Cry stay online? I don't know, folks, but we are living in very, very disturbing days right now. God has been prophesying through this ministry that days of communism and socialism and fascism and tyranny are going to be coming to this country in judgment. God is going to allow it to happen. He's going to allow it to happen to sift his people. He's going to allow it to happen to purge his people and to judge the sin that is running rampant upon this land. So folks, please take this matter seriously. By the way, if you've been listening to me long enough, you know that I am working on a plan B if this does happen. What I plan to do is switch to the old-fashioned method of snail mail, meaning that I will contact you through regular mail, through your home P.O. box or through your mailbox at home. I would have to convert all of my sermons to CD and send out thousands of them to all of you that are listening. I would have to start printing up a newsletter and keeping in contact with you that way. And I know that sounds archaic, folks, but that's the way that our parents and grandparents used to be blessed by ministries decades ago. It was all done through the mail. So if the internet goes down, folks, that's what we'll have to do. So as soon as you can, email me your physical address. And also, I'm trying to get together the equipment to make this possible. I need to acquire high-volume CD duplicating equipment, printers, etc. So if you appreciate this ministry, we appreciate your gifts of support so that we can get this thing done. The address is Watchman's Cry, P.O. Box 157, Priest River, Idaho, 83856. Or you can go to our website at watchmanscry.com, and we have a contact page there with our mailing address if you didn't get a chance to write it down right now. So again, folks, I want you to know this. If perchance we wake up one morning and it says on CNN that the internet has been turned off, I want you to know this. Watchman's Cry is still going to exist. We're going to exist, folks, until the very last breath is in my mouth, in my lungs. Now, let's get started. I know a lot of people are wondering if the tribulation has started. I know some of you really feel that it has. And you know, folks, if you were to ask me, has the tribulation started? I would have to answer again, I don't know. But I will admit this. Many, many of the things that we read in the book of Revelation seem to be getting ready to happen. It's like a parade that's about to start, and the band will show up in the back streets and in the alleys. And the floats will get together, and all the cars will get in line. All the motorized vehicles and decorations and everything that's going to be a part of that parade starts gathering before the parade starts. And I will admit that it does seem like the participants of the tribulation period and the things that we read about seem to be gathering and preparing to make a grand entrance. At this point, officially, my position is that we are still in the time of sorrows. We're in the birth pangs. How long is that going to last? How much longer do we have for that? I don't know. But I do know this, folks. At some point in the future, we are going to step from the time of sorrows into the tribulation period. And as I look at this oil spill, I know that in Revelation, it doesn't happen at the very beginning. It happens further into the tribulation. But is it possible that this is the preliminary preparation to allow the earth's oceans and waters to turn into blood? Is this one of the beginning episodes? Is this the prequel to it? I don't know, folks, but things look very ominous right now. And I don't think that there's anybody that's listening that does not know about the oil spill by now. Because right now, folks, there is a hole in the earth at the bottom of the sea. And this hole is causing the earth to roar. This hole is causing a historic eruption of oil, of gas, of methane, and poisonous fumes. And up to this point, the conclusion is now out. There can be no denying that the efforts of man have failed. Several weeks ago, as I prayed about this situation, the Holy Spirit said that the nobles will be confused. Now, at that time, Top Kill was about to be attempted. At that time, I didn't know what it meant. But, of course, today I know what it means, because the political nobles, the industrial nobles, the financial nobles are confused about this oil rupture. They do not know what to do. And at this point in time, according to the official story, and I want to qualify that, they're hoping for the relief wells to stop the eruption. and that is still almost 2 months away. Now, in a moment, we're going to talk about details of the oil spill. And when we do, I want you to know up front, some of the things may sound very scary. And I am not going to talk about these things just to raise fear, but you need to hear about these things because we're facing a storm, folks, and we need to have a plan. You need to have a plan. So we need to bring these things to the table, and they need to be talked about. Nobody can afford to be in denial right now, because right now we are witnessing the most devastating, destructive ecological catastrophe in modern history. Its ramifications are still unknown, but based on what the Holy Spirit has shown me, the events to come are going to be mighty and they're going to be terrifying. And pay attention to this next part, folks. There are going to be many deaths because of this thing. Now, regarding the oil spill, the most important part of this story is how you look at this story and how you interpret and understand this story. Now, what do I mean by this? 99.9% of the people out there are treating this oil spill event as another drama that will just get reported for a while until something else takes its place. Most of the people out there are treating it as a natural catastrophe. And I know that there are some people that are beginning to wonder if this event was caused by sabotage or even if it's a new 9/11 false flag operation. But aside from those theories, most preachers and Christians are just treating this as just another oil spill. But here's what I want to say about this, folks. Whether or not the oil spill was an accident or whether it was sabotage, almost everyone is looking at this thing entirely in the natural. Folks, looking at this oil spill as just a natural event is a big problem, because this event is not just another historical drama limited to the natural. And here is the real story of what is going on. But to understand it, every one of us needs to look at it through a different set of glasses. We need to look at this thing through spiritual lenses. Folks, you need to hear this report and process this report through spiritual ears. Now, folks, the Lord God Almighty, who rides on the heaven of heavens, whose strength is over the sky, He is sending out His voice, and it is a mighty voice. But who will listen? God Almighty is painting spiritual images upon the earth right now. And we must all seek the spiritual understanding of these things. As the vultures gather over the nation of Terminal Empire USA, the image must be understood. The nation of America is bleeding. That image must be understood. As the earth poisons the waters of America, the reason must be understood. As the people are coughing, gagging, and dying from the defiled air, this event must be understood. Please know this, there is a spiritual element to these things. And it's on display before us, and it's live on CNN. Folks, there are volumes being spoken right now in the present quote-unquote bad luck that is visiting America. But it is not just bad luck. It is not just a weird coincidence. It is judgment. Unfortunately, the natural heart of man does not understand this. It does not see this. It does not know this. Therefore, it will deny this and it will mock the concept. I've been emailed so many times from people, "Nathan, God does not judge. You're wrong." I've had emails telling me that, folks. I've had emails telling me, "How dare you claim that what's going on in America right now is judgment?" I've had some of them say, "Who do you think you are to say those things?" And then I've had others say, "Why would God talk to you and tell you what's going to happen? God didn't tell you those things. You can't see the future. God doesn't do that anymore. God does not judge. You're being judgmental towards America for saying that God is judging America." And on and on and on it goes. But you know what, folks? Being able to see the hand of God at work right now is not apparent to all people. It's not. It takes having open eyes to see these things. And that's what I want to talk about in this message. When I was seeking God, the Holy Spirit made it very, very clear that He wanted me to talk about this. And by the way, everything that I tell you, I'm going to back up with scripture. I am not just making it up. The scripture is our yardstick because from the scriptures come truth. The thing that surprises me is most spiritual leaders today do not really seem to concentrate on that. And that is the reason there are so many blind ones right now. That is the reason so many people are biblically illiterate, because their eyes are closed, their ears are closed, and they have no understanding. Now, understanding only comes from the Holy Spirit. It can only be taught by God. Now, it is very, very important to get a hold of a piece of truth, folks. And if you get a hold of this truth, it will help you to judge with more discernment. And here's what it is. Knowing what is happening right now takes spiritual understanding. This understanding only comes from the Holy Spirit. It can only be taught by God through the Holy Spirit. Now, if it can only be taught by God, that means that this understanding will not be taught to you through mainstream TV. You're not going to learn it by watching the weekly sitcoms. You're not going to learn it by watching that TV show that you're addicted to. It can only be taught by God. And it's not going to be taught by the news media. And it's also not going to be taught on the radio, in the mainstream media. Rush Limbaugh is not going to explain spiritual truth to you. Alex Jones is not going to explain spiritual truth to you. And here's the sad part, folks. It is also not going to be taught by most pulpits. But here's the problem with that formula. Most people are getting their information from these sources I just mentioned. Most people are getting their information through men in the natural who are speaking out of their natural mind. And what does the scripture say about that? In Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23, let me tell you what it says, folks. It says, O Lord, the way of man is not in himself. That means the correct way that he should be going is not going to be found inside of him. And it goes on, it is not in man that walks to direct his own steps. What does that mean? That means that the wisdom and truth of a man's path is not going to originate from within a man's heart. Why is that? Because a human heart is foolish, it is wicked, and it is spiritually blind. It's full of pride, and it's full of denial of God. And only a heart that is totally devoted to the truth of God and His Word will know the truth. And only a heart that seeks repentance from sin is going to understand spiritual truth. And also, only a heart that seeks to have open eyes and ears is going to know what truth is. So, with this in mind, folks, do you really think that Rush Limbaugh knows the truth? He's an entertainer.
Nathan, why are you bringing up Rush Limbaugh? I love Rush Limbaugh. I have a sticker on my bumper.
Well, here's why I'm bringing it up, folks. I'm bringing it up for that exact reason. Because many, many Christians listen to Rush Limbaugh and they consider his neocon words the gospel. And the reason that I'm mentioning Rush Limbaugh is because he's an example of other voices that are out there who are minimizing the oil spill and only looking at it in the natural. So what I'm saying about Rush goes for all of those people out there. But unfortunately, there's not much discernment with today's evangelical Christians. So they listen to these voices who have become evangelists for the natural way of thinking. But here is the spiritual reality, my friends. Here's a prophetic announcement from the wall. This spill is the judgment of God, and the foolish words of radio people will not nullify that. Folks, the carnal opinions of Rush Limbaugh, Anderson Cooper, or Fox News will not save you. They may report, but they're not going to give you a plan. And in the very near future, some of you may be in great need of a plan, perhaps a relocation plan. And to formulate that plan, you will need spiritual understanding from God. Because without this understanding, you may not know what to do tomorrow. And get this, folks, at the rate that things are going, at some point, this admonition that I'm giving you right now may change from you may need a plan tomorrow to you may need a plan today. So folks, the sun is setting on Old Glory. A shadow is going to come over her stars. As an empire dies,
It often bleeds. It often writhes in agony. And today, that great land, once known as Mighty America, is bleeding. If you've been listening to me long enough, you have heard me share some words from the Holy Spirit. I have shared that America has been conquered and is now occupied by foreign invaders. And I find it very interesting that those strangers from other lands are fulfilling their roles even now. I've shared with all of you that the Holy Spirit has warned that Lamentations was coming to America and that future America events can be found in the book of Lamentations. If you haven't heard those messages, go back and listen to them. I believe they're number 140. Lamentations is coming to America. That was a very sad message to deliver. We're seeing those things being fulfilled right now at a very, very frenzied pace right before our very eyes. And I'm reminded of the Holy Spirit saying, when you see the word Jerusalem in the book of Lamentations, substitute the word America, because that's what America is going to look like. If you haven't done it yet, folks, go read the book of Lamentations. It's 5 chapters. It's the journal that Jeremiah penned when Jerusalem was under siege and when it got overthrown. And he wrote down the horrors that he saw. And the Holy Spirit said, many of those horrors are coming to this land. So looking in Lamentations, we can read that in there it says that people from another land would take away the dwellings, the houses, the food, and the freedom of the people. And today, America's occupation is well underway. The fascist plan to socialize and nationalize all of America is well underway. In Lamentations chapter 5, verse 2, let me read a scripture to you. Our inheritance is turned to strangers. Our houses to aliens. There it is right there, folks. In judgment, the invaders inherit the looted possessions of the land that they conquer. And today we see Obama doing his part. And now, out in the Gulf of Mexico, another foreigner is at war with our nation. And as most of the sleeping American church continues snoring away, America's crown has fallen from her head. And the Gulf of Mexico is being poisoned and annihilated. And another foreigner, BP, is killing a major food source of America. They are poisoning the waters, making them unfit for seafood harvest. And these things will result in famine and in lost food for millions of people in America. And at this point, God is using BP as an instrument to dethrone America. Now, does BP know this? Are they doing this maliciously, on purpose? Do they know that they are God's tool of judgment? Of course not. They don't know. But right now, the record is showing that God can send confusion. And let's be honest, folks. BP looks like the Three Stooges out there in the Gulf. BP looks like Lucy trying to stop the pies from moving on the conveyor belt. And pretty much everything that can go wrong in BP's remedy attempts has gone wrong. So what's in store? How bad is this going to get? My friends, I want to remind as much as possible that God knew this was coming. And by the way, side note, when it really, really starts to get bad,
Nathan, you mean it's going to get worse?
Unfortunately, yes. So as it starts to get worse, as it starts to get nightmarish, know this in advance. God knew all of these things were coming. He knew that they were going to happen. And in his divine will, he allowed them to happen. He had the appointment set for it to happen right now in the year 2010. But here's the part that needs to be communicated. Folks, we're just at the beginning of this thing. It's going to last a while, and it's going to get worse and worse. We are in a judgment sequence that has started. And therefore, if we are in perilous times, we need to adjust our lives. And we need to try our best to understand the events that are going to happen and how we can try to shelter ourselves to endure those events. So, here's the question with this oil spill. What else is coming? How much worse is it going to get? How many more bad things are in store? Folks, when a nation is in judgment, the judgment doesn't begin on day one and then stop on day two. The judgment plays out to its end. And when you look at how Israel would get invaded, or the land of Judah would get invaded, or how another kingdom would get invaded and taken over, The invasion would not start on one day, and then the people would get all scared in day two and then start crying out to God, and then God would stop the invasion on day three. That's not how it happened. Once that nation was ripe for their appointment of divine judgment, it played out. So please know this, folks. The judgment on America is going to play out in several categories of famine, of war, of tyranny, of pestilence. It's going to be a whole slew of things that are going to be a part of this sequence. We are at the very beginning link of the judgment chain. It's a long chain, folks. It's a long parade. This thing is just getting started. So, back to the question, how bad is it going to get? I believe that by the time it is all said and done, we are going to see war happen to America. We're going to see destruction of cities happen to America. We're going to see cities flattened by explosions in America. And just recently, the Holy Spirit gave me a new prophecy and I sent it out. That was last week. Some of you have probably already read it. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it in this program, possibly in a future program. After I seek God about it and He tells me what to share, then I'll share it with you. But this prophecy is about a very, very horrible event that is coming to America. The prophecy has to do with a city burning. It has to do with an explosion that's coming. Now, I don't know what city it is, but I do believe that there's a good chance it is a coastal city because ferries and ships are mentioned in the prophecy. Some of you have emailed me and said that it looks like more than one event, and possibly that's true. And by the way, I appreciate all the emails giving me your thoughts. Some of you really dissected it, and I really appreciate this. Because one interesting thing about prophecy, folks, and prophetic dreams is the person that gives the prophecy doesn't always know the interpretation of it. He doesn't always understand all of it. Same thing with prophetic dreams. They don't always understand it, but God frequently uses someone else with a gift of interpretation to help out. So I appreciate all the emails that have shared your thoughts on that. But without spending a lot of time on those words, I just want to summarize with this. Folks, the days ahead are going to be very, very serious. The oil spill is just one part. It's going to get very, very bad. It's going to get ominous. So right now, no one can afford to be playing games with God. None of you can afford to be playing games with God. About the spill, let's talk about that. I know that many of you that are listening to this program are very, very smart. I know that many of you have blogs and websites and possibly even your own radio programs and podcasts. So you've done a lot of your own research. You have read a lot about what's going on in this oil spill. And by now, there is a glut of information on the oil spill. We have a lot of information on what the cause was, what the cause might have been, and there is also speculation that the cause is not what we're being told in the official story. I have read some recent reports that are now wondering if there were rogue elements that caused this failure. Some people are wondering if there was sabotage that did it. Some people are wondering if it was planned to fail, if inferior parts were used so that it would fail. So I want to talk about these things right now. Over the last several weeks, more information and disclosure has been leaking, and what we have found out in the last several weeks does not look good, folks. If the reports that are starting to leak out are true, then the Gulf of Mexico may be in very, very serious trouble, because the reports are coming out that the casing in the wellbore has cracks in it. And what that means is that the oil that is rising to the top and coming out of the BOP that sits on the ocean floor is also leaking out the sides of the casing pipe. And when it leaks out the sides of the pipe, it is going into the sand and cracks in the sediment, and the oil is being pushed out through those fissures, and it's actually coming out through the ocean floor. So the oil leak is not only coming out of the blowout preventer, out of the riser pipe that was cut, it is also coming off the ocean floor because the casing in the well has cracks in it. Now, this has been confirmed by officials from BP, and it has also been confirmed by official documents that were given to Congress when there was a disclosure meeting. So this is out of the bag now, folks. The well has cracks in it inside the dirt. And because it has cracks in it, now there are some other reports that are saying that the relief well, when it taps in to the wellbore and it starts pumping concrete and mud into the wellbore to try to clog it up, The reports are now saying that that mud might just go straight up through the top, or it might leak out through the cracks in the casing into the sediment surrounding the well. And if the relief well does not work, that means that it's going to keep leaking for as long as there's pressure pushing it out, or until they try something else. The other thing that they could possibly try, and there's talk of this, is to actually set off an underground nuclear bomb to try to collapse the well. Now, to do that is also very risky, because what if the underground nuclear bomb actually collapses the ocean floor? Or what if it caused a bigger rupture? Now, would Obama allow that to happen? Would he give the go-ahead on something like that? I don't know. So, folks, right now we are in uncharted territory. If the relief well does not work, it's going to continue leaking this oil for years and years. Now, let's talk about the damage that this oil volcano eruption is doing. In the last several weeks, we have seen that BP has been raising the amount of oil that is coming out of the well. And at last report, they are now admitting that it's up to 60,000 barrels a day, which times 42 gallons per barrel totals over 2 million gallons a day. Now, in the last program, I shared that there was a professor from Purdue University who said the real oil spill amount is 100,000 barrels based on his calculations. Well, there are now other professors who is saying that the true amount that is leaking is between 100,000 and 125,000 barrels. If we took that number, 100,000 barrels, then that translates to over 4 million barrels a day, folks. That is an Exxon Valdez every 3 days leaking into the Gulf of Mexico. And we are over 60 days now. So let's do some quick math. 60 days times 4 million gallons gives us a grand total of over 240 million gallons so far in the Gulf of Mexico. And still, folks, we have almost 2 more months. We have all of July, the rest of June, and part of August before the relief wells supposedly work. Let's say the relief wells do work. In another 2 months, that's 60 days. So add another 240 to 250 million gallons. So now we're looking at 500 million gallons of crude oil in the Gulf of Mexico. Half a billion. That takes us to August. Now, if there's a hurricane and they have to delay it, I've also heard some reports that said it might take till Christmas before we have a relief well. Now, from August to Christmas is 4 months, which is another 500 million gallons. So if it takes till Christmas, now we're looking at 1 billion gallons of oil in the Gulf of Mexico. Now let's look at that scenario, folks. Right now we're at 240 to 250 million gallons, give or take. If by Christmas we're going to have a billion gallons, that means that we've only seen 25% of the oil that's going to leak out. There's another 75% coming by Christmas. Billion gallons, folks. That's a lot of oil. That is a lot of hydrogen sulfide. That is a lot of benzene. That is a lot of methylene chloride. These VOCs, volatile organic compounds that are evaporating into the air, are very, very dangerous to humans. And right now, folks, we are getting reports that the fishermen, the shrimpers who are renting out their boats and themselves to skim oil, are coming back to land feeling sick. They're having headaches. They're coughing. They can't breathe. They're lightheaded. They're nauseous. They're vomiting. And if that is being caused by the fumes right now, how much worse are the fumes going to be in a few months? Folks, this is an ecological nightmare that is playing out right now. And then on top of that, we are getting reports that methane is also pouring out of the well. And the amount of methane that I have seen is off the charts. It is very, very high, and what it is doing when it gets dispersed into the water is it's killing the water. It's depleting oxygen from the water. There are so many apocalyptic ramifications and potentials of methane in an ocean. It would take a whole show to talk about it. But suffice it to say, folks, the methane that is coming out is also another killer slash apocalyptic explosion slash the sinking of ships waiting to happen. Methane takes away the buoyancy of ships and makes them sink. Methane takes away the ability to float in water, to swim in water. And if the methane got thick enough, those ships are going to sink. The ships that are working on the oil spill rescue efforts will sink. Or if pockets of methane formed, we could see ignition of methane that could give us very, very unexpected results. Now, there are very, very odd things going on in this whole story because we're not being told how really bad it is. We're not being told how much oil is really coming out. We're not being told how much oil there is, but that has also leaked out as well. And the number ranges from 2 billion to 10 billion barrels. That's not gallons. Barrels are in this reservoir. So this thing could leak for years and years and decades. But we're not being told. BP is in full control of what the world sees. BP is in control of what the government sees. So the poison that's in the air, BP is not telling us how bad it is. And on top of that, BP is spraying their dispersant Corexit, which is 5 times worse than oil. Then now they're over 1 million gallons of this stuff. That is also creating an ecological nightmare because that stuff is going to evaporate. And there are already reports coming out from inland that acid rain is coming down and killing lawns, crops, plants, orchards, trees. It's killing everything. Wherever the raindrops land, it turns the plants under them yellow. Acid rain has begun. And then on top of that, we have death arriving on the shores of America right now, folks. It's happening before our very eyes. We have the VOCs that can become so strong that it makes people sick. If someone were to walk into a cloud of these organic compounds, they would drop dead on the spot if the level of these compounds were very high. We already have the talk of economies that are dying. Vacation tourist spots have become ghost towns. Tourists by the millions have canceled their reservations. Or let me rephrase that. The smart tourists have canceled their reservations. So how bad can this thing get? Folks, this whole narrative right now, this drama that's unfolding, is just so unbelievable. Every day I read new reports on what's going on down there. I'm hearing reports that BP has hired contractors who are really mercenaries as security guards to guard areas of the marsh, of the beaches, and they're not allowing the media on site. They're not allowing people to take pictures. There's threat of arrest for people that are trying to find out what's going on. And also, the media has been treated the same way. They have been threatened with arrest. They're not allowed to do any free reporting down there. So BP is only allowing embedded journalists, so the journalists only get to go where BP wants them to go. It's almost like BP has become the nation of China and the freedom of the press no longer exists. And the other weird part of the story is that the U.S. Coast Guard and the federal government is allowing BP to do this. So now it looks like a foreign power has come upon our beaches, has stormed the beaches of America, and brought their fascism and their Nazism with them. And now they've taken over. The conquest is happening before our very eyes, folks. Now, there is one story that has not happened yet, but I am very concerned that this story will be happening in the days or weeks ahead, and it is this. If the VOC levels get high enough anywhere along the Gulf Coast and a cloud of these fumes happen to come on shore to a coastal town while everybody is asleep, and if the levels are high enough, they could effectively kill a town while all the people are asleep. It will kill them in their sleep, folks. So I shudder at the thought, but this drama that we're watching is creating this very thing. It is creating this very scenario where we may see that happen. One night, everybody goes to bed, and then the next morning, they're all found dead in their little coastal town because that death cloud came in. If that were to happen, I could see one of two scenarios coming out of that. The first scenario would be that the federal government and BP would hide the story and try to bury it. They would do their best to not report it, or they would do a spin on it or twist it so that the general public did not know that's what caused it. That's one scenario. Now, the other scenario is that the minute that story came out, you would see mass chaos develop within minutes all along the Gulf Coast. You would see a mass exodus occur where millions of people wanted to leave the coast. And if that were to happen, chaos would also erupt because trying to evacuate the entire Gulf Coast almost sounds like an impossible feat. How could it be done? How could there be enough preparation? How could the people have enough gasoline and funds to leave? There would be riots. There would be looting. There would be murders. There would be killings. There would be death. It would be a very, very horrible, nightmarish scenario if that were to occur, but it is not out of the realm of possibility. So I see an evacuation coming in the future. I see a mass migration coming in the future where people by the thousands, hundreds of thousands, tens of thousands leave the Gulf and go to northern states or go west. And when that happens, that's going to effectively kill a large percentage of the American economy. It's going to become a dead zone, an area of abandoned houses. Of course, not everyone will leave, so then we would also see looting. We would also see destruction. We would also see robbers, very evil people come out and take advantage of the situation. Folks, this scenario is a lightning rod waiting to be struck. As I look at the images right now, and then I look at the reports, and then I look at the possibilities of things that can happen, the future looks bleak, especially for the people that live down there. Now, if a mass evacuation does come and the National Guard and the federal government and FEMA tries to supervise it, what would be the ramifications of that? Being forced to migrate, being forced to be a part of a mass exodus? We saw what happened in the Superdome. We saw the failures of FEMA during Katrina. And folks, if there's one thing that we've learned from the Katrina story, it is this. FEMA cannot be trusted, and the federal government is anemic when it comes to trying to help people. And that's if they're doing it with good intentions. So now, that brings us to another scenario. This brings us to another question. What if you are listening to me right now and you live down there? What if you get evacuated? Do you have anywhere to go? Have you made any plans? What if poison rain were to come one night? What if that death cloud was to come one night? What if soldiers come banging on the doors, throwing everybody in buses, making them leave? What if you hear that the soldiers are coming in a neighboring town, so you want to get out in front, so you just get in your car and take off? Do you have a plan? Have you thought about that? Folks, this is why we need to stay on top of this story. And this is why you need to have spiritual understanding, so that you can hear this information, and then so that you can hear the voice of the Holy Spirit warning you and confirming with you that you need to do something. Now, this sounds like crazy talk that I'm saying right here, folks, but we may be seeing millions of refugees. You may be a refugee in the next few weeks or the next few months. And if that were to happen, you do not need to be on your own. You do not need to be thinking on your own. You need to have a plan that has been birthed in prayer. You need to have a plan that was given to you by the Holy Spirit as you have sought Him. You need to have a plan that you can use, that you have peace about. Folks, God is not going to abandon you. If He is judging this land, His remnant, He wants to hide under His wing. You need to be stable, and you need to have knowledge and understanding during this judgment. In fact, while I'm talking about it, let me read you a verse right here. Isaiah chapter 33. In Isaiah chapter 33, Isaiah makes a pronouncement, a prophetic pronouncement against the land of Assyria. And Isaiah prophesies that Assyria would be destroyed. They would be plundered. But in the verses of Isaiah 33, there's also a secret that is given. In Isaiah 33, verse 6, let me read you a verse right here, folks. Wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your times. Now, if you have your Bible, highlight this and look at it. Let me read that again. Wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your time. In other words, during perilous times of judgment, you need to have wisdom and knowledge. And may I throw in, if you have those things, then that means you have understanding. And if you have those things, wisdom and knowledge, then you will be stable. So during the judgment of God, it is possible to be stable. But in order to be stable, you need to have spiritual wisdom. You need to have spiritual knowledge. You need to have spiritual understanding. Now it goes on. It says, and the strength of salvation. So wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your times, and wisdom and knowledge will be the strength of salvation. So your salvation lies on you having spiritual knowledge and wisdom from God. Now, there are many people walking around right now without spiritual knowledge who claim to be Christians. There are many people who sit at church and they warm a pew and they say that they have knowledge. There are pastors that get behind pulpits who claim to have knowledge and they try to bark their information to all the people. But if they're not doing one thing, if a pastor, if a spiritual leader is lacking in one thing that I'm about to tell you, then he does not have wisdom and he does not have knowledge. Because the end of verse 6 says, the fear of the Lord is his treasure. And today, So many people walk around claiming to be Christians that do not have a fear of God. And the pastors and the shepherds are not teaching the people to have a fear of God. They're letting the people think that God's a Santa Claus. You don't need to fear God. He's ho-ho-hoing all the time, just wanting to give you candy canes. Don't fear him. Sit on his lap and tell him what you want. Sit on his lap and read him the list of the material things that you want to feed your flesh. And God will give them to you. That's the lie that's being told today, folks. And those people have no fear of God. As a result, we have the judgment of God occurring right now before our very eyes. The earth is bleeding before our very eyes. The waters are polluted before our very eyes. And the people do not fear because they do not think that it's the hand of God happening before their very eyes. Because they have not been taught. But for you, my friend, you're smarter than that. You're seeking answers. You're hungry for the truth. That's why you're listening to this program. It takes effort to download a program and listen to it like you're doing right now. That means that you want more than what the person next to you wants at church. And what you need is wisdom and knowledge because you need to be stable and you need a healthy fear of God. There's something else I want to show you. Those people that do not have a fear of God also, more often than not, the majority of the time, 99.9% of the time, they have sin in their life because they're counting on grace to erase their sins. So they're not concerned with sins. So they go to church and they act holy, but they're not holy. And if you try to tell them about the judgment of God, they get scared and they don't want to hear it. Why is it that so many Christians get scared when you start telling them what's going on? I get emails from so many of you folks telling me that. My family gets scared. My friends get scared. They don't want to listen to me. They ignore me. They deny me. They mock me. They make fun of me. They say I'm crazy. Let me tell you why they get scared. If you're in Isaiah 33, go to verse 14. Isaiah 33:14. The sinners in Zion are afraid. Boy, does that speak volumes. The sinners in church are afraid. You better be afraid. But why are they? Here's why. Look at the next part of the verse, folks. Fearfulness has seized the hypocrites. That's why. Because when you warm the benches and you have the grace message shoved down your throat and that's what you swallow regularly, but those people really know they're just pretending, worshiping God with unclean lips. According to this verse, when the sinners show up in church, they're hypocrites. And if a person's a hypocrite because they're a sinner and they're not walking in repentance, they're not walking trying to be cleansed, they're going to get scared when you tell them about the judgment of God because they have nothing to tether themselves to. They have nothing to hold on to. They have nothing to depend on. So they get scared. So for you, my friend, having a healthy fear of God is the best thing that any of us can have going for us. The fear of the Lord is a treasure. Isaiah 33:6. It is a treasure. It's priceless because it keeps you in line. It keeps me in line. It keeps us walking in the path. It keeps us from straying because it lets us know that He's there, that He's the Father that will chasten us when we need it. The earth is bleeding right now, my friends, and it's just one part of the sequence. Coming by the end of 2010, we could be in war. We could be in a world war. We could see the Eurozone collapse in the next few weeks or months. We could see unemployment double or triple. We could see the dollar collapse. This oil spill has attachments to it, attachments that are going to bring more calamity to this country. But if we pull back our focus, we can see that it is the judging hand of God. And it is God that says, I will send a blast. I will send a ruin to that land. So where does one go during ruin? Where does one go when God is sending a blast? My friend, there's only one place to go, under the shelter of His wing. But to get there, we need our spiritual eyes open. You know, folks, God said Lamentations was coming. So when we start seeing the images of Lamentations on America, is that a coincidence? If you can open the book of Lamentations and see Lamentations 1:9, the fall of Jerusalem, or may I say, the fall of America. By the way, Lamentations was written for Jerusalem, but the Holy Spirit just said, just replace America in there just to give you an illustration of what to expect. I'm not trying to rewrite the Bible, folks, just so you know that. But in Lamentations 1:9, it says, her collapse was awesome. The collapse of America is awesome. It's incredible. It's mighty. and the wake that it leaves creates a tsunami that drowns out the observers. It's going to play out, my friends, and you need to have spiritual understanding. You need to know what to expect. If you read Lamentations, you see famine, duress, captivity, tyranny, economic collapse, plague, and death. You know, I was reading through Lamentations a few days ago. I came to Lamentations 1:17, and I was amazed at what it said there. Because in 1:17, it talks about Jerusalem being a harlot, committing adultery from God. So God tells Jerusalem, you are an unclean woman. You're an unclean thing. But if you read the King James Version, incredible, folks. Jerusalem is a menstruating woman, bleeding and unclean. And if we substitute America for that right now, folks, look at the prophetic object lesson playing out before our very eyes. America is unclean right now. America has no shame. Americans don't know how to blush. Americans are full of sexual debauchery. And also, America, as an unclean woman, is bleeding in the Gulf of Mexico. America has shed innocent blood. 50 million babies she has murdered and butchered. And now, America, you are an unclean woman, and you are bleeding right now. Folks, God is showing us so many images, and they're right before our very eyes. And all we have to do is open our eyes and see them. So many take sin lightly in the lie of the purpose-driven church today. The grace gospel, the motivational gospel. Sin is treated as benign. It is ignored. It is treated as no big deal. Many take it lightly. They say, God will forgive me. I have grace. Now, it is true that we do have grace, but God is also a God of righteousness and judgment. And those parts of God are left out of so many sermons this day. And also, my friends, the grace message, while it does exist, does not nullify the admonition to seek the holiness of God and the righteousness of God. God requires and expects those things from His people. He requires those that want to know Him to understand this. Now, if you want spiritual understanding, you must understand this. God wants holiness and righteousness. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Why am I talking about this? Why am I bringing this up? Here's why. Because there is another prophetic object lesson playing out before our very eyes in the Gulf of Mexico with the oil. Now, today's gospel ignores the consequences of a sin-filled life. Instead, today's gospel concentrates on the outer garments of the earth, on prosperity, on talent, on occupation, on getting that new car, that big house, on being blessed with all the stuff. And thus, by doing that, today's gospel fulfills what we read in Revelation 3 in the church of Laodicea. Revelation 3, because you say I am rich and in need of nothing, behold, you are poor, blind, miserable, and naked. Attention, prosperity preachers and motivational prophets. You are brainwashing the people of God with the knowledge of the earth. You are programming them to seek after the things of the earth. You are shamefully fulfilling Revelation 3:17 by convincing them that they are rich and have become wealthy. You have shamefully taken the roles of a mouthpiece that spreads falsehoods. You have shamefully left these people dry and famished for the word of God. And you have left them in captivity. And because of these crimes against the gospel, so many people are mired in sin. So many people are in bondage to sin. So many people are blind to sin. And they are choking in their sin. So many are not ashamed of their sin. And so many do not blush in their sin. And here's the question, my friends. What does mired in sin look like? Have you ever wondered? I was seeking God over this message, and God said, it's before your very eyes right now. Tell them. He showed me something, folks, and He wanted me to tell you. But before I tell you, I need to say this. When Jesus, Messiah, hung on the cross, He had the load of sin dumped on Him. And it was so repulsive and reviling to Him that He prophesied how it felt in Psalm 69. And in Psalm 69, we can read Him saying that I am sinking in deep mire. Psalm 69, verse 1. Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in deep mire. He's talking about sin there. Where there is no standing I am coming to deep waters where the floods overflow me.
Jesus is talking about being submerged in the sludge of sin. He hated it. He could not stand it. That's why he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because the sin was dumped on him.
Sin is like sludge, folks. Jesus hated it. And a few days ago, I was seeking God, and God showed it to me. So here it is, folks. Here's the image being played out all over the world, and people do not see it. Have you seen the images of the seagulls and the pelicans in those photos? Did you see those pictures, folks? The pelicans were caked with oil. The seagulls were caked with thick oil. It looked like chocolate was on them, like molasses. They could not move. Forget about flying. The birds, they could barely breathe. Did you see those pictures? They were very sad images. I showed them to my son and he started weeping. He could not believe how horrible it was. The way that they were covered with a thick cake of mire sludge from the Gulf. And this is what the Holy Spirit showed me. He said that this is how a person looks that is mired in sin. The sin absolutely gets caked on them so thick that they're consumed by it. That miry sin hinders their movements. It sabotages their ability to rise above and fly like an eagle with God. I've heard people quote that verse. I've heard those bench warmers quote that verse. They that wait upon the Lord, I will fly up like an eagle. No, you won't. Sorry, folks. If you have that sin all over you, it will coat your spiritual wings and it will ground you. Hey, purpose-driven pastors out there, quit lying to the people and telling them that they are winning and hovering like champions. Quit misleading them. My friends, if you are playing with sin, it is stuck on you just like that grimy, thick sludge of oil. And this is why when you are honest with yourself, when you start noticing that sin, it feels heavy, doesn't it? That's why it feels hard to move around spiritually when you have sin. Have you seen those pelicans land in the oil and then they try to fly out of it? Impossible. They move and they move, and the more they move, the more it sticks to them. That's the same with sin. It is impossible to wade through it and then think that it's harmless. My friend, sin will destroy you. It will choke you. It will paralyze you. And eventually, it will kill you. I was asking God for understanding, and he showed me these things, folks. If anybody asks of God, and you need understanding, you need wisdom and knowledge, you can ask him and he'll do it. But step one, you need to deal with sin first. You need to be born again. You need to be a surrendered soul to Jesus. You must have repented to him. You must have committed your life to him for salvation. And if you're a Christian, whether you're a new one or a seasoned one, it is important to get nourishment from his word. But here's the big secret, folks. You must seek his knowledge with your spirit, not your intellect. So how do you do this? Well, it's very simple. When you open the scriptures, you ask him to help you understand. And right now, folks, you need to have understanding. There are so many treasures in the Bible. There are so many treasures in his word. It's incredible. It's like a treasure hunt. Every time I open the scriptures, I'm on a treasure hunt. Now, one thing to understand about the scriptures is that the Bible has layers. There's a surface layer that you read, but then below that layer, there are spiritual secrets. And there's another layer that's deeper. There's a deeper meaning under the surface. So the thing to do is to be seeking the buried treasure in the scriptures. Folks, the gospels are loaded with buried treasure. I've really been having a good time seeking the words of Jesus because almost every event that he took part of and every encounter that he had with people when he was healing them, when he was talking to them, had layers to it. And there's buried treasures in those layers. But folks, in order to have understanding of God, you need to spend time with God. And you need to spend time seeking his word. It's vital, folks. Isaiah 34:16. Write that down. Isaiah 34:16. It says, search the book of the Lord and read. We must all search it, folks. We must search out his secrets and his understanding. Now, if you fail to understand what's happening right now in this present judgment, you may fail to hear God's plan for you. You may fail to hear his will for you. And now more than ever, you really need to be hearing from God. Why? Here's an example. What if you live in the Gulf Coast and a FEMA evacuation is coming? Again, folks, the nightmare stories from Katrina, the Superdome, the rape that happened in the bathrooms. As I sought God over this message, God has been really, really been speaking loudly to me, saying the people need understanding, spiritual understanding, especially during judgment. In the last few remaining minutes that I have, I want to read some verses that I looked up that talk about understanding and the benefits of spiritual understanding. Now, there are also warnings of not having understanding. Now, whenever you have a chance, I want to challenge every one of you listening to do this. If you have the chance, take a concordance, do a search for the word understanding, and look at the verses that come up on that. Look at the many, many hundreds of passages that admonish us to seek the understanding of God. And that's what I did, so I'm not going to read you a lot of them, but I'm just going to share a few that I found. In Psalms 32, verse 9, and you can just take notes and write this down, folks, if you have your pen and paper. Psalms 32, 9. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding. So right there, if you have no understanding, you're like a horse or a mule, whose mouth must be held with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. So not having understanding is not something to be proud of, folks. If you say, I would like to have understanding from God, but I don't have time, I'm busy, I've never got around to it, you are failing if you don't have the understanding of God. Don't do that, folks. Don't be that animal. Here's another one. Proverbs 21:16. This is another warning. The man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. Whoa. That one's pretty blunt, isn't it, folks? That means if you have the chance to have understanding, but on purpose you wander away from it, death is going to be your future. Not good, folks. Again, seek understanding. Here's another warning about not having understanding. Jeremiah 4:22. For my people are foolish. They have not known me. They are silly children, and they have no understanding. So right there, folks, God says some of his children have no understanding. That means some people sitting in church say they're children of God, but they have no understanding. They're silly, and they don't know him. So one of the ramifications, the sad results of having no understanding, is not knowing God. That is not good, folks. And it goes on, they are wise to do evil, but to do good, they have no knowledge. So understanding seems to be a foundational requirement to keep people from going off the path, from straying, and from doing stupid things. Understanding, folks. Here's another one, Jeremiah 5:21. Hear now this, O foolish people, and without understanding, which have eyes and see not, which have ears and hear not. Again, they can't hear God. So right here, Jeremiah is saying they don't have understanding. Also, they're foolish. Also, they can't see spiritual things. They can't hear spiritual things. Folks, it is vital to have spiritual understanding. In my previous program, 152, I talked about the prayer that Paul had over the believers in Ephesians chapter 1. He prayed for them to have understanding, to have open eyes, for their ears to be open, for their hearts to be open, to have the knowledge of God. That is vital to be a victorious Christian. You need to have spiritual understanding. Proverbs 4:7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Proverbs 4:1. Hear ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to know understanding. Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Now, if anyone listening to me right now says, I don't care about understanding, Nathan, then I have a verse for you right here. Proverbs 18:2. The fool has no delight in understanding. If you say that you don't care about having an understanding of God, if it's too hard for you to seek the understanding of God, according to Proverbs 18:2, you are a silly person. And I'm being nice right there. 1 Corinthians 14:20. Look at this one, folks. Brethren, be not children in understanding. That means don't be a baby in understanding. Don't be at the level of immaturity in understanding. That's what it's saying right there. And it goes on, how be it in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. So right there, an admonition to be mature in understanding. That is something to seek, folks. And I have one more now. Now, being that I am talking about the judgment of God raging over the land, the blast of his furnace is upon the land, you cannot afford not to have the understanding of God. You cannot afford not to know the will of God for your life, because you might have to relocate. Ephesians 5:17. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So, if you want to know God's will, it makes you wise. You should seek that, my friend. Now, what happens to a person that does not have understanding? What is the downside? Well, let me sum up the few verses we just read. They stay a baby. They stay immature. They have no wisdom. They do not know the will of God. They are not close to him. They do not know him. They cannot hear his voice. They are quick to sin. They'll fall off the path. They will be part of the congregation of the dead, but they won't be close to God. Not close to God. And folks, right now, we need to be close to God. We need to be parked right under his wing. And I was seeking God a couple of days ago, and I asked him that question. I said, God, what happens to a person that doesn't have understanding? And the Holy Spirit spoke to me pretty quick. He said, now watch this, folks. In fact, write this down. A person without understanding will be doing a self-imposed exile from God. Did you get that, folks? A self-imposed exile from God are the people without understanding. So not having understanding also means away from God, meaning he's far away. He's not near. And folks, if we're not near to God, that means we're not close enough to be under his shadow, his protection. That is not good. That's my prayer to you, folks. I pray that you will find understanding of God, that you will find spiritual understanding in your life over the scriptures and over this present judgment. Now, please know, folks, the key to understanding God is not memorizing a bunch of scriptures. It doesn't happen in your brain intellectually. The key to understanding God is knowing God like a friend. When you know God like a friend, then you're able to talk to him intimately, and then he can talk to you. Folks, it's possible. And this is my prayer for you. When you go into your prayer chamber, when you're talking to God, start asking him for understanding. Start seeking understanding. Ask him to open your spiritual eyes. Ask him to open your spiritual ears. Ask him to give you the wisdom and the knowledge to have this understanding that I'm talking about. Folks, God will not give a stone to someone that asks for bread. And understanding will come to the heart that seeks it. It will come to the one that desires it. The heart that is pure and hungry will find it. The arrogant ones cannot have understanding. The haughty and the proud do not hunger for it. They despise it. But understanding will point the humble one to their path. And knowing the will of God comes from knowing God. Hearing the will of God will come by hearing his voice. And if you cannot hear the voice of God, then you need to seek him more. Seek him for wisdom, for answers. And let those that desire to endure seek their God. Folks, his mercy is waiting. There are great treasures to be discovered. May you find this treasure in your heart. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.